Hi, everyone, and welcome to Bad Bleeps of the Bible. Yes, welcome back. Back for another regularly scheduled Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday whenever you listen, episode of Bad Bleeps of the Bible. I hope you enjoyed the last Bad Bleeps Uncut episode. It was a wild ride, to say the least, for both Freddie and I. We re-listened to that podcast and we're like, we went on some tangents, but yeah, it was good. It was fun. But also be ready for a revamped and organized-ish uncut coming at you in a few weeks. In the meantime, though, Easter. What is she? Who is she? Why do we celebrate her? What's the story from the Christian lens? Why is Easter on a Sunday? Why am I so confused about all of this? Let me start by saying Easter is a huge deal. It was a big deal now. It was a big deal growing up. If you don't know, or if you're new, my dad was a pastor, is a pastor, is now the Reverend Mayor of our town, but he was a pastor, an independent, fundamental, Southern Baptist-ish leaning KJV 1611 pastor for a very long time. Began in 82, 83, I believe. But all that to say, Easter is a huge deal. First, there's Palm Sunday, where my mom, the pastor's wife, raided our local greenhouse so all the kiddos could have these giant palm branches that we would use to then pretend to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem with. One year, I'm pretty sure we actually had a kid ride in on a real donkey. Small town things, I feel like. Where did we get a donkey? I'm not sure. But a kid rode in on a donkey and we waved the palms. And the palms also doubled as weapons later in the Sunday. But then comes Easter Sunday, where the focus, the strong focus, is on the resurrection. That's where Jesus is risen from the dead. And that's really what sets Christianity apart from other religions and Judaism. This is Judeo-Christian, a la the New Testament. This resurrection idea where Jesus is risen. To start the resurrection, there was a sunrise service where we would get up at the break of dawn, make our way to the church, where then my dad would squelch for his life. Then came the morning. You need to listen to my dad sing at some point because it is something. And then you would have that morning service where I would sing a stunning rendition of a song called Watch the Lamb. It's very dramatic. You pick up the cross. I cried multiple times. It's everything. People during this time would be sniffing up a storm, not only because I'm a brilliant performer, but also because we would also bring in hundreds of fresh flowers that were made in remembrance of someone. So people would pay $5. You could get a daffodil that would then be put in front of the church and then you could take home later after that morning service. So it was a big time, a big time. It was a fun-filled, fabulous day/week. And the Easter Sunday service, just as another little side piece, was the day I was saved, in air quotes. Saved. Being one and done, you ask Jesus into your heart. You're then saved from eternal damnation. I'm going to tread lightly on this idea, but in our church specifically, you just needed one small prayer and then you were set. And I was saved Easter of 94, I believe, by an evangelist who said that he saw angels in the balcony and dead people in the congregation. Must have moved baby Scott, because at that point he said, now is my moment. And I remember my parents coming up to me. I had this like vivid image of my mind of them. We're kneeling at the altar. We're praying. Yes. Cool. So that's Easter. Easter is a big, big deal. It was a big deal for me. It is a big deal for many around the world. And so Easter then is our bad bleep. And yes, I can say Easter is our bad bleep because you know what? This is my podcast. It's my show. And I get to make the bleep anything I want. And this time it's Easter. And I can also tell you that instead of telling you just the Easter story, I'm going to give you 10 facts about Easter instead. Because again, why? It's my podcast. Okay, so without further ado, welcome our bad bleep of the week, Easter. It's my podcast. I can do what I want. Okay, fine. Fine. Before we dive into these 10 facts, I'll give you a little rundown of the Easter story as I was told, as it was told to me by my mom and dad, the Reverend Mayor. So in quick succession, Jesus had a feast. He said at this feast that he will soon be dead, and Judas, the betrayer, leaves. Jesus then goes to a garden to pray. He has his Jesus Christ Superstar Gethsemane solo and is then betrayed by Judas with a sloppy kiss on the cheek. Peter is affronted that he is betrayed and whips out his sword and takes off a guard's ear with said sword, which Jesus then picks up and puts back on and goes off with the guards. Jesus is brought before Pilate, the governor, and is sentenced to torture and then to death on the cross. He's beaten many times by the cat of nine tails, this gnarly whip thing that has like glass and bone and things at the end of it. He has his beard ripped out and a crown of thorns placed on his head. He carries a cross to Golgotha. Side note, been there, not much to see, and dies. The earth then shakes. We have a big old earthquake. The sky goes dark. People come back to life. And the shroud dividing the Holy of Holies from the regular holy is ripped in two in the temple from the top to the bottom. Meaning there is no separation of church and state or God from the people now. Jesus is buried. He rises again 3 days later and appears to lots of people. And then he ascends into heaven, never to be seen again until the rapture. I asked ChatGPT to make that even shorter, and here's what it said. Jesus Christ, believed to be the Son of God, died on the cross and rose from the dead 3 days later. Cool, great. You know the story. Let's get into the facts. Fact one, Easter is all about new life. And you may be wondering, why is Easter on a Sunday? Why is Easter always during spring? Why do we celebrate with Easter eggs? Well, it's about resurrection. All things new. Easter eggs, eggs being new life. It's celebrated in spring. Why? Things are coming back to life. Baby animals, baby people, a la me, are being born. New life. And it's celebrated on the first Sunday after the full moon, meaning it's a new moon. And it's always on a Sunday. Sunday being the first day of a new week. So Easter is literally about all things resurrection, all things new life. Bam. Fact one. Fact two. We covered this in our Bad Bleeps of the Bible October episode. But the death of Jesus caused an earthquake, which then brought about the end of the world as we knew it. It didn't. But what it did do is bring the dead back to life. The Bible says that after the death of Jesus, a great earthquake occurred. The lights went dark in Georgia, and the saints around Jerusalem came back to life and wandered into the town. So spooky. The Bible also doesn't tell us what happened to these saints. Did they stay dead? Did they stay kind of dead? Did they visit their relatives and share a lovely meal and maybe a drink? Who knows? But we do know is that it's spooky Halloween. Fact three, women were the first to see Jesus. Yes, they were. Those women were on the way to the grave to, well, they were on the grave to make sure the body hadn't rotted too much, and we're going to put some oils and some spices to cover the smell of rotting flesh, when they found that the grave was empty. The tomb was empty. The stone had been rolled away, and a fabulous one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people angel was sitting on top of the rock, who then in his sassy way told them that, yo, Jesus isn't there. She hath risen. Go tell everyone. And they did. And guess what? No one believed them. Shocker, right? A bunch of men not believing women? Oh, thank God times have changed. Fact four. Because no one believed the women, as we said, Jesus had to show up and literally show off his scars. The Bible says that he was a living, corporeal being. You could touch him. He had flesh. And he appeared, actually, to hundreds of folks and showed them his new scars on his hands and feet. God, gnarly. And only then did they believe the women and Jesus. Cool. Fact five, Jesus didn't have a tomb. He didn't clearly have a spelt out life insurance policy and had not, I guess, anticipated needing a tomb. Maybe he knew that he was going to rise from the grave anyway. So what's the point in investing all that money? He can just turn more water into wine. But regardless, Jesus didn't have a tomb. Girl had to borrow a tomb of a rando dude named Joseph of Arimathea. And as such, there's a bit of confusion on Jesus's actual tomb in Jerusalem. Is it the tomb in the garden? Is it a tomb that we discovered near the Temple Mount, I believe? We don't know. But I'm going to go with the tomb that was discovered to have belonged to Joseph of Arimathea near that temple on the mount. Only because I have a picture from inside that tomb where I look absolutely stunning. I'm not saying it's on my Hinge profile, but I look great, and I need to feature it somewhere, so check the Instagram. Fact six, the stages of the cross. Have you heard about the stages of the cross? It's not fully a Christian thing. We didn't learn about it. We were told that it was sacrilege, that it probably did not happen. And if you're unfamiliar with it, the stages of the cross, also known as the stations of the cross or the Via Crucis, typically represent 14 events or 14 little moments during Jesus Christ's final journey from condemnation by Pilate to crucifixion on the cross. I'm going to do a quick rundown of these 14 stages. Hold on to your butts. Stage one, Jesus is condemned to death. Stage two, Jesus takes up his cross. Stage three, Jesus falls. Stage four, Jesus meets his mama Mary. Stage five, Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus carry the cross, also thought to be a person of color. Stage six, Veronica, I don't know her, she seems fabulous, she wipes the face of Jesus. Stage seven, Jesus falls again. I shouldn't laugh, stop laughing. Stage eight, Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. Stage nine, Jesus falls again. Whew! Stage 10, Jesus is stripped. Stage 11, oh my God. Stage 11, Jesus is nailed to the cross. Why am I laughing? Stop laughing. Stage 12, Jesus dies on the cross. Stage 13, the body of Jesus is taken down from said cross. And stage 14, the final stage, Jesus is laid in the tomb. And if you've ever seen the Mel Gibson, oh my God, why am I blanking on the name? What is the name of that movie? I'm sure everyone, oh, The Passion of the Christ. Bam, we got it. No more screaming into the nethers for that name. The Passion of the Christ, if you watch it, he actually incorporates these stations of the cross into that story. I digress. What I did know is that I grew up not believing in these 14 pieces of the crucifixion whatsoever. But yet again, I also have a picture of me supposedly in the same spot where Jesus, on one of those three falls, leaned on the wall and left his handprint. Photo will be attached via Instagram. And the next two facts, we're on number seven, aren't religious because I can. So fact seven, non-religious fact. The word Easter actually predates Christianity. The name Easter originates from an Anglo-Saxon springtime goddess named Eastre. And this is my plug for you to read American Gods by Neil Gaiman. And then once reading, also watch the series American Gods because Kristen freaking Chenoweth of Wicked fame plays Easter. And she is everything. Fact eight, carnal fact eight, Easter Island You know, the island with the giant heads and the teeny tiny little underground bodies? Well, Easter Island is named Easter Island because, drumroll please, it was discovered on Easter. And because white people always need to ruin things, they decided that this name, Easter Island, is better than its original and native name of Rapa Nui. And so the name Easter Island is now the most commonly used name to describe what was once named something else for millennia. Oh, white people. Of which I am one. But still, let's do better. Okay, back to the religious Christian facts. We got two more people. We can do this. We've done so well. Fact 9. A solar eclipse. How appropriate. The day I'm recording this, April 8th, the solar eclipse happened. Actually, we were on the path of totality. Not here in Chicago, but back home. My parents sent me a video. They also sent me a Bible verse saying that it's the end of the world. I digress. A solar eclipse happened during the resurrection. Oh my goodness. Goodness gracious. Solar eclipses have been in the news lately, and not just because Bella will soon be choosing Edward in Italy. But did you know that a solar eclipse supposedly happened during the crucifixion? And there may, strong may, be evidence of such an occurrence. During the crucifixion, the Bible says that between noon and 3 p.m, that will be our last fact, hold on, darkness covered the entire land. And this was actually documented by not only Matthew, but Mark and also Luke, the two apostles who wrote about this occurrence. And while some speculate whether this darkness preceding Jesus' death could have actually been caused by a solar eclipse, scholars actually looked into it. So they estimated that Jesus' death would have occurred between 26 AD and 36 AD, with April 3rd, 33 AD. Lots of threes. That's fun. I'm pretty sure Jesus, didn't he die at 33? I don't know. Someone look that up. April 3rd, 33 AD being the suggested date of Jesus' death. And Nyasa meticulously mapped historical eclipses throughout time and found that no solar eclipse aligns with the timing of Jesus' death in Jerusalem if we're going with the April 3rd, 33 AD date. Bummer. But NASA did record that a notable lunar eclipse occurred near April 3rd, 33 AD, and it lasted 2 hours and 50 minutes, prompting speculation that this could be connected to the crucifixion of Christ. Could it be? And 10, my favorite fact, Jesus died at 3 p.m. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please, I'm just kidding. No, yes, Jesus did die at 3 p.m. Am I stroking? Jesus died at 3 p.m. This is the hour of his death. Fast forward 12 hours, and we have 3 a.m., the unholy hour, also known as the witching hour. If you've ever, like me, watched any sort of scary movie, you know things go bump in the night. And most likely, you've seen things go bump in the night at a specific time, 3 a.m. And why is that? Because it is meant to be the complete opposite of the moment that Jesus was killed and then, again, spurning resurrection on the cross. 3 p.m. he was killed. 3 a.m. is the complete opposite, the demonic hour, the hour when the spirits are at their strongest. Interesting, right? So when you see 3 a.m., be like, oh, how fun. I learned that on Bad Bleeps of the Bible that this is actually the witching hour because Jesus was supposed to be crucified at 3 p.m. and the complete opposite of 3 p.m. is 3 a.m. You're welcome. All right. Those were 10 facts about Easter. And listen, we did those in less than 20 minutes, which honestly, I'm impressed with myself that happened because I could have rambled. Regardless, I hope you learned a little bit about our Bad Bleep Easter. Yes, I can do that. It's my podcast. And I really hope that you also had some time for yourself on this solar eclipse day. But do watch out for crucifixions and maybe also for vampires, a la Bella and Edward in Italy. I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Please feel free to get in touch with me and share those thoughts, those church stories, that church trauma, whatever you want to share at badbleepsofthebible@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram and the tickety-tocks at badbleepsofthebible, which I still haven't updated, yet I will continue to say to find us there. Sources for today's story can be found in the show notes. And please rate, review, subscribe, and most importantly, share this podcast. Catch you next time, and watch out for solar eclipses, for Easter Islands, for white people renaming things, for, I don't know, NASA finding out that a solar eclipse could have happened, for the Stations of the Cross, for women being the first to see Jesus, for lots of different things, maybe Easter being new life, maybe like Kristen Chenoweth.